Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and I think I have Dr. Rima Lebo on the line. Dr. Rima, are you there? Now that's strange. Let me try muting her and taking her back. Dr. Rima, are you there? 661?
I'm here.
Perfect. Okay, you sound great. Wow, folks, you just missed a half an hour of the most incredible information. I have recorded it. I'm going to try to work with it a little bit, improve the sound quality. Usually we don't have any problems at all on Blog Talk. Typically we get studio-level quality out of the sound. Dr. Rima, I know you might have to repeat yourself a little bit, but I'd like to for you to explain how our genome, how our genes are being modified by all of these things, the GMO foods, the vaccines, and even the chemtrails. And I'll just let you go.
Absolutely. First, you have to be aware that information is coded in your genes. What they do fundamentally is create proteins. And those proteins control pretty much everything that happens in your body. They control digestion, reproduction, cognition. They control the immune status. They control pretty much everything. And the mechanism by which they're created is pretty complicated, and it doesn't really concern us now. But the thing that we need to know is that our genes contain information about our entire past history. They contain the controlling factors of what's happening to us now. And they contain the information about what's going to happen to us in the future, what can happen, what cannot happen. For instance, with my genome as it came to me from my long line of ancestors, I cannot sprout wings and start flying around the room. It's just not in my genomic potential. I can develop cancer. I can develop diabetes. I can have a late menopause. I can have any number of things in my range of possibilities that the genome comes equipped for. What happens to that genome depends on which genes get turned on, which genes get turned off. And that has to do with the environment. It has to do with heavy metals. It has to do with the interaction with organisms like viruses and bacteria and cytoviruses and parasites. It has to do with the things that we breathe, whether we have enough protein, whether we have enough magnesium, whether we have fluoride that's poisoning us. So we are complicated in our interaction with the environment. And the environment includes what's injected into us, what's sprayed on us, like 2,4-D, or what's sprayed on our food, like 2,4-D, which is a component of Agent Orange, which is now being sprayed with the permission of the United States Department of Agriculture on the food that you eat and that you feed your children, which has been genetically modified to withstand being sprayed with lots and lots of it, the way Roundup Ready crops have been genetically modified to withstand lots and lots of glyphosate, which is the second most toxic substance known on the planet, which is not radioactive. That's been known for a very long time. Glyphosate causes infertility. It causes cancer. It causes autoimmune disorders. It causes a wide range of problems. And yet, our compliant regulators make it perfectly acceptable to spray increasing amounts of it on our food. And when the World Health Organization, which is not exactly your friend, they're a very pharmaceutical and chemical-friendly organization indeed, but when even they were forced to admit recently that glyphosate is a probable cancer-causing agent in human beings. The FDA and the EPA and the USDA took a different tack, and they said, well, yeah, it probably is a cancer-causing agent, so we're going to increase the amount that is allowed to be residual in our food. Now, what does that mean to you? It means that your genes are changed when you eat commercial food, in the same way that your genes are damaged when you eat GMO food, in the same way that your genes are damaged when you receive injections of vaccines, in the same way that your genes are damaged when you have drugs or breathe the chemtrail effluvia. So these things, these environmental impacts, change our genetic structure, and they change our genetic structure for the future, for the next generation, if there is a next generation. During the time that we took a little break between the first half of the show and this half of the show, Mark, I was thinking about infertility. I was thinking about the fact that folks need to know that in 1974, the United Nations, a globalist genocidal organization, that's not speculation, read their literature, they want to reduce the population of the planet by 90%. I would call that genocidalist. Okay, the United Nations in 1974 created a committee which was designed to find infertility vaccines. Created a commission. The commission had two committees. One was male infertility vaccines, and the other was female infertility vaccines. Now, this was the same year that Henry Kissinger, who was then astonishingly, horribly the Secretary of State of the United States, opined forth in something called National Security Memorandum 200, which was initially a secret document, but then was declassified in 1988, and remains a part of United States foreign policy doctrine. It's never been repudiated. And it begins by saying, population reduction must be the primary goal of U.S. foreign policy, starting with the third world. That's an official part of U.S. foreign policy doctrine. And in that year, the United Nations began work on two sets of vaccines. The male infertility vaccine project was abandoned in a year, probably because most of the people making decisions were male, and they didn't want to touch those precious sperm. But that's speculation, of course. But the female project went forward, and they discovered that if they added a human hormone produced by every pregnant woman and necessary for the maintenance of the pregnancy, and they did that in the presence of aluminum and strong immune irritation or adjuvant stimulation, they could turn the immune system into a machine that would attack or make inducing irreversible. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, you just got real loud. Yeah, I hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. They could turn the body of the woman who received this vaccine into a production system for antibodies against this essential hormone, without which a pregnancy cannot be completed, and they would therefore render any woman who got this hormone injected this way infertile for the rest of her life. They thought, well, this is cool, and they began using it. They used this system in the Philippines, where in 1996 the Philippine High Court convicted the World Health Organization to absolutely no world fanfare of genocide because they involuntarily sterilized a minimum of 3 million Filipino women. How many total? Well, only the World Health Organization knows for sure. This same infertility vaccine was found in India. The same infertility vaccine was found in Kenya. The same one in Guatemala. The same one in Brazil. The same one. We could go on and on. Now, I have a question for every one of your listeners.
Well,
when a vaccine, let me just finish the thought, Mark, if I may. When a vaccine is injected into your body, do you know what's in it? Do you know whether it contains nanochips? Do you know whether it contains an infertility agent? Do you know whether it contains an agent designed to give you cancer, like the SV40 virus, which the CDC now admits they knew that 98 million Americans were receiving vaccines contaminated by, thus explaining the sudden childhood leukemia epidemic? Do you know what's in that vaccine? No, you do not. And I would say if you have two neurons to rub together, that should set off an alarm bell between those two neurons, and you should be saying, holy crap, Batman, why would I allow anybody to put that into me or my kids? And then you have to get to the question of whether you have the right to say no, and that's the issue today. Sorry, Mark, I cut you off, but I needed to finish that thought.
Oh, no, that's perfectly fine. Did all these people that were getting these sterilization vaccines, did they know that they were getting?
None of them knew. They thought they were getting tetanus vaccines. Now, it's very interesting. The World Health Organization decided in these countries that I mentioned and many, many more that they needed to do a 5-part vaccine series against tetanus in women only between the ages of 15 and 45. Now, most cases of tetanus occur in men. But, nonetheless, it was only women between the ages of 15 and 45 who needed this 5-vaccine series. By the way, what do you think the reproductive age of most women is? It's between, you got it, 15 and 45.
Or maybe even a little younger.
Anybody hear about Gardasil forcing girls into premature menopause? It's an infertility vaccine.
So, do you think most of these vaccines then are to control population?
Many of them are. We don't know what else they're to do. You have to remember that cancer is the single most economically productive disease that humankind has ever encountered. Ever. Mm. You have to remember that. And you have to remember that vaccine ingredients are incredibly dangerous. And the truth of this matter lies in the package inserts. The package inserts tell you that very little is known about the safety of vaccines, and they also tell you that the responses to vaccines that people have had, and they leave out most of them, by the way, the responses have been cataclysmic and deadly. What they leave out are the numbers. And so people say, oh, well, the doctor said it's safe. It must be safe. The doctor has probably not read the package insert. And if the doctor has read the package insert, I can virtually guarantee you that the doctor is not vaccinating himself and his family.
Hmm. That's one interesting thing about all this. When I talk to people like yourself who are very knowledgeable, you're just completely against vaccines. But you can talk to nurses and sometimes other doctors that are pro-vaccine.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you ever hear of brainwashing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah, for sure.
Medical education is a brainwashing situation that involves sleep deprivation, protein deprivation, hierarchical abuse, that you get to participate in by abusing those below you as you rise up. Identification with the aggressor is an extraordinarily powerful shaper of human thought. And then, with every passing day, I've survived this, I have to tell you, with every passing day that goes by, Mark, you have more and more invested in being part of the system. More money, more time, more ego, more life, more education. You have special handshakes. You have special language that only you understand. You have special fancy clothes. You have special procedures that only you are able to participate in. And you are woven into a cult just as surely as if you had paid all that money to go to Mooney School.
It's astonishing.
And what is the net result? You surrender your ability to think.
So a lot of doctors and nurses are just brainwashed.
Absolutely, except for the fact that something like close to 70% of pediatricians do not vaccinate themselves and their families. They make somewhere between a third and a half of their income vaccinating kids, but they don't vaccinate their own kids, which puts me in mind of State's Attorney John Ivey of Maryland, who oversaw the forcible revaccination at gunpoint of a large number of children in Prince George's County, which is the poorest county in the United States. Black, uneducated parents were told that if they did not vaccinate their children on that particular Saturday at the courthouse, under the watchful eye of a judge, in the presence of dogs without muzzles and armed police, then they would be sent to jail. Well, the parents showed up. They were not informed of the fact that Prince George's County School District lost the vaccination records of something like 1,000 children, and the rest of the children were also forcibly vaccinated under these terrifying circumstances. The judge, by the way, said that the kids were crying. It was kind of cute, like Sunday school. I don't know where he went to Sunday school. And then the S&M Church of the Vaccine, I suppose. And then the state's attorney, John Ivey, who had engineered this whole atrocity, was asked by one of our people who was on the scene, "Mr. Ivey, do you vaccinate your children?" And he said, and I quote, "No, there are too many hazards associated with it." Now, why did he want the children of Prince George's County to be vaccinated? Because the federal government gives subsidies to school districts based on the number of vaccinated children in the population.
Scary.
Scary. And so let me just throw out another concept here for your listeners. Informed consent. We all know that we all have the right to informed consent, right? Wrong. Informed consent was enshrined in the Geneva Convention, and the Nuremberg Convention after the Nuremberg War Trials. The United States never signed the Geneva Convention. The United States has given itself the right to experiment on you without your knowledge or permission. But if you do have the right to informed consent, fundamentally it means one thing and one thing only. And that is that you, since you own your body or by extension your child's body, have the right to say no to any medical procedure, any. You can say no because your scientific research has led you there. You can say no because the voice of God is speaking in your left ear and telling you not to do this. You can say no because you don't like the doctor's nose and therefore you don't trust him. You can say no for any reason or for no reason. But if you own your own body, you have the right to say no to any procedure. However, the federal government and the state government are fixing to take that away from you by putting in place mandatory adult as well as childhood vaccinations. And we are at a time when the New World Order and globalism and Agenda 21 are coming together at the point of a syringe. And that syringe can kill you, can enslave you, can create chronic disease like cancer, or subdue you in a variety of ways if you let it. And so the Natural Solutions Foundation doesn't just identify these problems. We do identify the problems in great detail and scientific precision. Then we create a way to fix it. And the way here is called pushback. Pushback works. Frankly, nothing else works. You're not going to be able to run into the woods and hide until the vaccine squad team goes away. Doesn't work like that. So if you don't want to be a property of the state and you don't want mandatory vaccination or the next thing, which might be mandatory sterilization, or the next thing, which might be mandatory harvesting of one kidney out of every 10 people or whatever, who knows, if that's not okay with you, then here's what you need to do. You need to go to a site that I'm going to give you called tinyurl.com/vaccination-is-violation. I'll say that again. It's tinyurl.com/vaccination-is-violation. No spaces. And you need to read what's there. And then you need to click the button. You need to ride your freedom mouse, which is attached to your computer electronically or by wire. And you need to say to all your representatives and to your federal Congress people and to all the decision makers, no, you may not involuntarily vaccinate me or my children. How do you do that? We've got it set up so that when you put in your zip code, it sorts out exactly who should receive this, the governor of your state, your legislators, your federal representatives, and so on. And then you need to tell everyone you can reach to go to this same URL, tinyurl.com/vaccination-is-violation. You need to tell them to go there and build a tsunami of pushback. And you may say, well, that doesn't work. Yeah, it does. In 2009, then-Secretary of Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius, announced to Congress that a program was already funded and in place for the mandatory vaccination of every man, woman, and children with the swine flu vaccine, every man, woman, and child for the swine flu vaccine. But we, the Natural Solutions Foundation, had discovered that the U.S. holds two patents on the use of a particular adjuvant called squalene at a particular level that this was going to employ that causes irreversible infertility and sterility. And so the 90,000 vaccine stations around the country were actually infertility induction stations. And we told people about it. In 11 days, 3.5 million people sent emails to all these people saying, don't you dare. And the United States government said, okay, we won't do that. And they didn't. And the same thing happened here in Chile when I mounted a campaign against Monsanto to prevent them from taking over the Chilean agricultural system and turning it into the agro-disaster that the U.S. is, on an email campaign in Spanish, which, as I said earlier, is a language I do not speak. That's what pushback can do, and it does it regularly if we take our responsibility seriously and ride the freedom mouse.
Can you put that URL in the Skype?
I sure can, and you will hear a little click, click, click as I do that. It's tinyurl.com/vaccination-is-violation. Now, I would like to invite everybody who's listening to join me on Twitter at at Dr. Dr. Rima, R-I-M-A, Labo, L-A-I-B-O-W, at Dr. Rima Labo. I put out lots of information. I give the sites, I give the references, and I direct people to where they can go to make a meaningful difference. Because what's the good of knowing all this stuff, Mark, if we can't change any of it, if we can't protect ourselves and the future and the planet and our genome? Why, there's no point at all. We should just go hide under the bed and suck our thumbs while they come for us. But we can make a difference. We do make a difference when we raise our voices peacefully, legally, and strategically.
I'll put that URL on my Facebook page, too.
Mm. Great. May I give my Facebook page, too?
Yeah, go ahead. And your websites, if you haven't.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Facebook/ Natural Solutions Foundation. We're all about solutions. It's our middle name. And the page, the URL is Dr. Dr. Rima, R-I-M-A, truthreports.com. Dr. Rima, truthreports.com. That's what it's about. If you don't have the truth, you will never be free. It says in the Bible, and the truth shall make you free. What it doesn't say in the Bible is exactly how that works. And the way it works is by knowing the truth and acting upon it protectively, proactively, and intelligently.
Do you want to stop here at a half an hour? And since you've already done a half an hour, and what I'd like to do is I'll talk with you offline. I'd like to invite you back, and maybe we can set something up, maybe even on a more regular basis than a year and a half.
I'd love to. I would be delighted. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, it's always a pleasure talking to you, Dr. Rima. And you've given both of your URLs. Is there any other information you want to tell people about? A book or anything like that?
Let me give you a couple of sites. First of all, www.truthaboutagenda21.com. There is a free book at truthaboutagenda21.com, which you can download, and you can also read what is almost impossible these days to read on the internet, and that is the foundational Agenda 21 document. Agenda 21, for those who don't know, is a program to reduce the population and compress the remaining population, that would be 10% of today's population, onto 1% of the land mass of the planet. I kid you not. I know this sounds insane. I am nowhere near crazy to have come up with this. This takes the United Nations and the globalists.
Let me ask you, do they want to push people into these mega cities?
They call them transit villages.
Okay.
And in these transit villages, each person will have a life allotment of space of 256 square feet.
Is that like those, they call them coffin apartments?
Yes, that's exactly right. These tiny houses or apartments which are being celebrated as, you know, small is beautiful and millennials know that they need simple lifestyle. This is all propaganda to say get used to not having any property, get used to not having any rights. In a transit village under Agenda 21, you will be able to go without any restraints as far as you can walk or bicycle, to get on the transit system, to go further than you can walk or bicycle, you will need to have a permit. You will not be able to travel into the 99% of the planet that you don't live on because allegedly nobody will go there. It will be rewilded, given back to the wild creatures of the planet. You want to bet you want to bet that the great ones won't have their ski homes and their resorts and their mines and their whatever, exploiting the planet any way they want. You just won't know about it, and the propaganda will tell you that that it isn't happening. Furthermore, it says in Agenda 21, the children are to be fed less than they need, that means less protein, than they need to reach their optimal genetic height. Because people who reach their full genetic potential in terms of their physical development consume, and I quote, more than their fair share of the world's resources, determined by exactly whom. And that means that the brains of these children will be underfed, as happens in malnutrition in any part of the world. So they can't think very well. Children will be intentionally undereducated. I didn't make this up. This is Agenda 21. Children will be intentionally undereducated because children who are fully educated consume, once again, more than their fair share of the world's resources. Again, defined exactly by whom? Children will be educated in what we now call the Common Core curriculum, which we know is disastrous to independent thinking skills and to logical thinking skills. You can bet that the children of the elite will be educated quite differently. You will live where you are told to live. You will eat what you are told to eat. And you will reproduce with whom you are permitted to reproduce. You will be, in every sense of the word, owned by the state. And there's only one word for people who are owned by the state. That word is slave.
Wow. That's not a very bright future.
Another website that I mentioned in the first half of our time together is www.gds-therapy.com, with another free book to download. This is a book about finding out, or site, and a book about finding out whether or not you have had your genome disrupted, and if so, what you can do about it. There's a checklist there, and you can take it and see whether it's likely that you fit into that category. The main site is www.brimatruthreports.com, and we urge you to put your email information in, and we'll send you a complimentary subscription to our newsletter. Lots of information. And then, of course, there's at Dr. Rima Label, our Twitter feed. Why is this important? Because if you don't get the truth, you only get the lies. If you get the lies, you can be manipulated. If you have the truth, you can decide what you want to do with your life, with your health, with your freedom, with your time. And right now, the truth is really the only tool that you have to decide how you're going to live, die, or thrive, or otherwise.
Dr. Rima, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
I'll contact you right after I play a little music and sign off here. So I appreciate you coming on the show and give us all this information. Folks, you're listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm host Mark Snyder. I'll be on the